This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. I love what we're going to be discussing today. It's just more ways of how we could deal with stress and make the best of our lives. And when you think about your ideal self, what do you imagine? What would you accomplish if you could rid yourself of unnecessary stress and avoid burning out? My guest today, Joe Fox, is a peak mental performance coach who works with people to help them manage stress, avoid burnout, and function at their highest levels. Joe will share with us today how he develops a highly personalized first aid kit of stress management techniques and will give us tips and tools to feel great, find the energy, drive, and desire to operate at our peaks. Welcome, Joe Fox, to our show. So happy to have you with me today.
Thanks for having me, Erica.
Yeah, I mean, I love discussing this because I truly believe that we can all find a recipe for ourselves, depending how we're wired, to learn how to have some coping skills. So can you tell us a little bit about your coaching technique and how you do help people find a way to live a life with less stress?
Right. Yeah, well, I'm completely self-taught in that regard, if you will. I struggled myself with a lot of stress for over 15 years, or I should say how I perceived stress, right? Because there are always triggers out there for every one of us. But for me, it was like how I handled stress or certain events or, you know, people around me. And that went on for 15 years of my life. I couldn't handle those situations. I didn't have the ability to confront certain situations. So my nervous system got stressed and stressed and stressed. And I created all kinds of symptoms, or my body, I should say, created all kinds of symptoms around, you know, those stress patterns. And I was really debilitated. I was even bedridden. I was in my early 30s back then. And I went to see doctors and spent $200,000 on all kinds of consultants and did all kinds of therapies. And I want to really cut it short. That's sort of like just in a nutshell, you know, giving the overarching picture of what I went through, you know, throughout 15 years. And it was so hard for me because in Western medicine or, you know, allopathic medicine, there's always a symptom on the surface and you're going to treat the symptom. And I never looked at didn't even, you know, think about something that could be, you know, buried beneath the surface that needs to be looked at. I didn't have the capacity back then because that's where we're all taught to, okay, something's wrong with your body, something needs to be fixed, you go and see a doctor, and that's the surface level approach. And I didn't leave that approach for so many years, and then I just got worse and worse and worse, and I was just treating symptoms with all kinds of supplements, you know, spending money on therapies, and nothing really helped. And, you know, I grew up in Germany and I have a very conservative upbringing, and it's all about, you know, working hard and, you know, building a career, and all of it. So all those pressures, all those value systems from parents and social conditioning, they were there, and they created that setup, if you will. And not a very healthy setup, because I didn't have any, what you just said earlier, coping skills or anything that I didn't know about. And I'm a guy. I'm very rational. So it just, you know.
Yeah. Well, I talk.
Please go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, when I talk to a lot of my clients, too, this is what you're talking about with what you endured as well, is changing the narrative in your head. I mean, everything is cognitive, I think. Everything is our thoughts. And if we don't understand how to think better thoughts, new thoughts, positive thoughts, and understand the narratives that maybe were placed, like what you saw growing up in Germany, or what messages you received from your parents or the adults in your life, and how that doesn't serve you maybe as an adult and who you are, you know? and how to recognize those, have the awareness, change that. I mean, that's a lot of internal work, which, like you said, most of the time doctors, if something's wrong, you go to a doctor, they give you a prescription, you start, this is why we have a bunch of drug addicts walking around, without them really even knowing that they are addicted. You know, there's so many multi-layers to all of this. And I really, I'm glad that you, and I appreciate you sharing your story and having the courage to do so, because that is the truth, is until we can look at not what the symptoms are, but what the underlying issues are and the narratives, I think.
Yeah, that's huge. And I just wish, Erica, that we would be equipped at an early age with just some basic fundamental awareness around those things, around our patterns, how we operate, and that we have the capacity to really just look at ourselves and not run around like, you know, if I would exaggerate, I would say like a zombie on autopilot, right? But it is sort of kind of like that, because we can only operate from point of view that we know. So that must be a belief system or a value system, something, or what you just said, narrative. I like that, because narrative also implies that it's been, you know, ingrained also in our nervous system on a subconscious level over time. And then it becomes really powerful. And the absolute truth, you know.
Right. Right. And it is powerful, and it does take some hard work and a lot of like resilience to keep on working at those narratives, because they will come. I mean, even though I've done tons of work on myself around narratives and how to choose other thoughts that are going to serve me and be aware of where the old thoughts are coming from and how they're detrimental to my health. Even though I know that, once in a while they'll pop up again, you know, I mean, that's how these things really are deeply embedded. But, I think the awareness, first of all, is key. And wanting to do the work to take a look at this is also obviously important as well. So,
Erica, you just said wanting to do the work. And that's for me, that's the biggest. So for me, it was a journey of 15 years. So when I work with someone, it's intrinsic or important for me to identify where someone is on their journey, right?
Right.
So back then, if I would have been presented with the right person that has all the right solutions, press all the right buttons, so to speak, that would not have worked, because back then I was stuck in the narrative that I knew up to that point. So it's almost like we have to reach that higher level of knowing or consciousness, which you're so well aware of, to even be receptive to a new concept to enter our brain, to not hit our ego and just be rejected by that.
Yeah. But what you said before also struck a chord with me, is you said perceive stress. So everybody out there that's listening, you know, has stress. It's walking around stressed about whether it's work or personal life or, you know, health issues, whatever it is. But can you explain a little bit further to people that may not understand this? I love that you said it, perceive stress. So, how could one person look at something, which I know this exists because I have this in my own life. One person sees something and perceive it as stressful, and the other person like, oh, let it go. You know, why are you worrying about it? You know, what is that? What is that that makes, let's say, you, when you were dealing with your issues, perceive something to be so stressful to the point where it created a dis-ease in your body, or it created, a physical impact on your life, versus someone else who can look at something and kind of like blow it off? You know, I have a grandfather. He's 92 years old. He's been through the war. He was abandoned as a child. He's marched through his life like head high. I'm sure he's gone through a lot emotionally, but he's never allowed anything to take him down. So, you know, I think we all have different, you know, thresholds, or how do you see this?
Yeah, I like that word, threshold. But at the same time, you also said, Erica, that it's very complex and multifaceted, multi-layered, because if we refer to the conscious mind and the subconscious, on the other hand, we try to compartmentalize to, you know, shine light on these concepts so they make sense. But even if someone that has, let's say, a more resilient nervous system for some reason, right? This is just how they are, that's their genetic makeup, whatever you want to call that, or that they're just a little tougher on the outside. The thing is, you know, maybe they cope with it on a surface level better, but how do they really cope internally? You know, maybe they're still building up stress patterns underneath. Maybe they are not aware of. And I had clients that this, you know, really came through. Those people, they function perfect on the surface level, and they can block those, what should I say, you know, block those block a stimulus, a trigger, a stress trigger from the outside. But it doesn't really mean they are, they've just created a wall that's still penetrable. You know, if you, it's, so what I'm saying is I'm all for making, painting a clear picture. If you want to convey something, you want to explain to people, or in my case, explain a client, you know, how a certain concept works. But at the same time, we have to understand the nuanced point. And we're just so, we're very complex creatures. But, well, at the same time, since you were asking, the narrative you mentioned earlier, that is sort of like that basic template that's right there. And I call it also a filter, or, you know, a certain set of glasses we use to see, you know, to perceive the world through. So it all depends on what kind of filters you operate from. And then at the same time, we can look at everything that works on a surface level in terms of implementing coping tools, what you said earlier. Those coping tools are fine. So what I do, just in a nutshell, quickly with my clients, is we work on those surface level things in terms of how can we really de-stress the nervous system quickly? How can we imply, how can we use certain tools that dial down those stress levels quickly? But they are only there, and I always stress that, to set us up for the deeper work that needs to be done.
So what are some of those coping skills, or let's say those tools that you do start with people?
Well, I do, you know, everything that's known to man, so speaking, in terms of, you know, stress management tools, you know, from all kinds of visualization exercises, self-hypnosis, all kinds of meditation. And I also have certain click tracks I work with, and some guided tracks I have. So that really depends on really putting a package together for the client that works in their everyday life. You know, some of them, they don't have a lot of time, or some of them are in business, and they only have maybe, say, 30 minutes every morning. So I have to cater to that. And those are just basic stress management tools, again, to de-stress the nervous system, but they are less than half the story.
Yeah, of course. And you know, I was talking to an amazing therapist yesterday, who I've known for a long time, and we were talking about somatic, experiencing somatic therapy, which some people have heard of that are listening out there. It's, you know, when we hold on to traumas in our body, and you know, and let's say today something, a relationship from the present today creates some kind of anxiety or stress for me, and I could feel it in my body where it is, how, what it looks like or what it feels like, but yet it's just was a, it was just triggered by a past event, because we hold a lot of our past events in our body as well. Do you see that for yourself in your own work? Have you seen that this is true for a lot of clients?
No, absolutely. I'm so passionate about all the trauma work, because I feel there are certain tools we can use, and just you know, living a different lifestyle, so we're not tapping into those old templates, those old traumatic memories and patterns. That's sort of like one thing. I think, I mean, we all know we cannot eradicate or delete that memory, but we can work with the emotional charge that sits stored in the nervous system. So what I found out is that we can really dial down whatever emotional charge there still is, because that emotional charge sits there. If we look at it from, let's say, one traumatic event or experience, it sits there like a reservoir, like a template that sits there at the bottom. And whenever we perceive the world through our senses and a threat is perceived that taps into the realm of that template, that reservoir gets leaks, so to speak, right? Or that neural connection is just way tighter. And since it's tight, it can sort of like refuel that old trauma. So if we dial down the emotional charge, the trauma event will still be there. That network is still there. But that neural pathway may be a little bit more, you know, it may not be as dense anymore. So it gives us more room, more leeway, more like a buffer zone. And we don't have to, you know, overreact or we all know that, right? When we are just very impulsive and someone says something and this, you know, a back and forth of an argument or something. That's just, that's so interesting. Someone taps into something, says something, instantly triggers that neural network. Which,
well, it's your nervous system. It's your parasympathetic.
Like neuroscientific now, but it's just this back and forth of egos, how they say. Or on the other hand, we could say it's just the nervous system's talking to themselves. But if we can actually create awareness, right, and add another layer of consciousness on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for your work that you are doing right now, from what I understand, you identified true targets, habit maximization, shifting stress perception balance, and then attachments and disassociations. Can you tell us a little bit about those four, in terms of what that means?
True targets are very much similar to what we hinted at earlier, what you said with the narrative. And true targets just means what are your belief systems. We all feel like we have belief systems, we have values in our life, but most of those values are just passed on. So we never question those because we're stuck with work and we're in a relationship and we just go about our day, our life within society, and we want within society we want to perform because this is where all the acceptance and love comes from, right?
So
we may not even question those values that were passed on. We just adopt them as being true for ourselves. And that's,
learn. Learn your own values. I mean, and that, you know, the work I do, I run a treatment center and I am always on the kind of front lines counseling, group therapy, individual therapy, family therapy. And one of the things is for me to identify for them their values now, you know, not their values when they were in an addiction or hijacked by, you know, unhealthy patterns and behaviors. It's who are you today and what resonates with your soul so that you can live congruently with what's in your heart and act in those ways. And so I think what you're saying is a great foundation to start the work, to kind of figure out what is important to you. And and
it's
then the second one,
how you, sorry, Erica.
Yeah. Oh, go on, please.
No, I just meant to say it's interesting how you just described basically the same thing. And I just find it fascinating how the semantics, just language, works.
Which
we know from neurolinguistic programming, right? How to communicate and what language really does. And you just said the same thing based on what you knew from your clients, from your workshops, from your research, from what you learned. And I have a different viewpoint, but we're basically saying the same thing. I just use different vocabulary to express the same thing. I just a little side tension there. Just fascinating how language, what I said earlier in terms of traumas, there's a larger reservoir of a neural network in our brain. Let's say, let's just call it network, right?
Yeah.
And it just sits there. But a word, one spoken word, since you said cognitive function earlier, and you said words, thoughts, those are words or thoughts that were given to us that have a certain meaning. So when we say something, there are neutral words, but there are a lot of words that have an emotional charge attached to them, right? Why would someone freak out if I yell at someone or, okay, that's because I raised my voice. No, let's say
the tone.
I keep my voice at a certain level, but I just use a swear word. And I can trigger someone because that word has so much power. Why is that? Because someone at some point told us repeatedly or, you know, implemented within us, you know, what needs to be experienced when someone says that word. It's just what I'm saying is that every word has an emotional charge and it triggers something within us. And that's just a tiny reservoir. So words spoken and thought is so big because you started with that. And I sometimes don't like when people say, oh, it's all in your head, it's all your thoughts. And I sometimes dislike it, even though it's the truth and it's so important, it all starts there. It sounds a little almost too easy or too, I don't know, somehow contrived in a way. But it is true. It's what we think and all the words we speak to ourselves, most importantly in our heads, right, on a daily basis. Those are the things that fuel all those wrong targets, right? Those old belief systems that were confirmed over and over, but we never questioned. And we all have that little angel or devil sitting on our shoulders, that self-talk in our head, or whatever we want to call it, that just that voice in our head that stems, it sort of like seeps up from our subconscious, right, into the conscious mind. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, that's why I find the work of Eckhart Tolle so amazing, because the present moment and being right now here in the room, or like I'm sitting here in the room, I'm holding the phone, there's a white wall I'm staring against, I have you on the phone right there, I'm really present right now, I'm not thinking about anything else, and that just allows me to really...
Right.
Yeah, what am I trying to say? Like, really stay present and just be caught up in that moment and really tap into my potential that's really there, and that's not jumbled up, or that's not, you know, there are no layers on top of that. I just have to go through to get to my core, so to speak, in terms of my performance and potential.
Yeah. And I like what you said about being present, because I think, you know, for some people it's hard, but in mindfulness trainings and, you know, and reading books on being present and all of that. And the more you practice, the quicker you could build that muscle. And it is like a muscle where you just have to, if you went into a gym and you like lifted a weight every single day for, you know, 30 days, you would have a muscle that formed. And it's kind of the same thing. It's just that we have to be aware that we have to tell ourselves, like, let's focus on the wall. Let's not think about the past. You know, it takes a lot of self-talk, actually. I found that changing my life 10 years ago, I talked my way through everything, and I still do. You know, I have to talk to myself. I have to be my own champion. Sometimes I'm my own critic, but I have to also shut that critic off sometimes. So, but it is a lot of building those muscles mentally and having the patience, which I always tell my clients too, patience takes some muscle building as well. Your patience with yourself, patience with others. So, and like you said too, with one of the things that I know you teach in your coaching is the habits. You know, I love this quote. It says, tell me your habits and routines and I'll show you your future. You know, it's like what we do every day will predict who we become. You know, if we run every day, we'll probably be healthy. Or, you know, if we do drugs every day, we probably know the outcome of that. I mean, it's kind of a simple equation, but it's kind of profound, I think.
So true. And habits, they are a part of us, and they can be good or bad. But the thing is, or the critical distinction we have to make, is that we need to have awareness to really dissect those habits at some point and see how do they actually serve us. I mean, if they can serve us, then that's fine. Okay, then we don't have to spend time and don't have to give them attention. That's fine. But if there is sabotaging, there's things that we do over and over every day on a daily basis that's pulling the rug under us, then we need to shed some light on that and just create some awareness around that. And that for me was maybe the biggest, not a breakthrough, because it's a journey, right? It's gradual, but being aware, and you said mindfulness, or I just said be present. And these things, they allow us to really see, and then we can question, and when we see it, we don't have to be it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we see ourselves. I'm just a little bit regurgitating what you just said, Erica. Sorry.
Yeah,
you already
I like that you are saying in other words too. I think that's so cool, really, you pointing that out too. I you know, interviewing people on this podcast for these years and having such you know, amazing minds and inspiring people that have been on the shows. We all kind of, you know, whether it's someone's a doctor, an author, a healer of some way, you know, what a nutritionist, everybody kind of has the same idea and approach. And really that's, you know, what I find is treating, you know, the mind, body and spirit in some way, and learning how to have self-care and love yourself and develop healthy thought patterns and learn how to identify old stories that keep you stuck and identify those, you know, traumas, big traumas, little traumas, whatever that may be, you know, whether you're bullied in school when you're young, or you've gone through some kind of violent trauma, or, you know, there's so many different things that have happened to all of us, and not to minimize any of it, you know, everything it could be a tiny thing that affects us and sits with us our whole lives, and a huge thing that happens, you know, really doesn't have an impact. So you never know. And it's what's really important is to own your story and own your truth, and then be proud that you are worthy of a healthy life. Be proud that you are working on yourself. Because a lot of people that I deal with, you know, see it as, oh, I have to work on myself. I have to get my life together. Not that I'm choosing, you know, I always try to tell them, like, you have to choose not to do it and choose to have a healthy life. So it's a lot in language as well, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, Erica, if I may add, it's about taking responsibility for yourself and not accepting the autopilot way of living anymore. It's really about taking full responsibility also, you know, for what happened in the past that maybe self-inflicted or someone did something to us. If that ownership is not there and we're still trapped in victimhood and you know that, we're not going anywhere.
Exactly. Joe, thank you so much for being with us today. This went by so fast. I just want to make sure to give everybody a website to find you. It's joefox.co. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Thanks for saying that on air.
Yeah, of course. JoeFox.co. Anywhere else that you want people to find you? You want to give a number? I just want to be able to
website
give you
would
that.
Be best. Yeah. So you mentioned that already. Perfect. Thanks.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you for being with me today. I really would love to have you back. It's fantastic talking to somebody that is, you know, helping others and giving such great ways and tools to see themselves and thrive in their lives, because everybody deserves that. So thank you for the work that you do.
My pleasure, Erica. Thanks so much again for having me.
Yeah, thank you. We are listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. Thank you all for joining me today, and stay well.